Good morning. Who else was with us when I just called in?
Marcella was the only one when I got on. I mean, when I came on right after.
Good morning, Marcella.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it. Brenda's going to call in, so I have to mute, she said. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie. It's Judy.
Hey, Miss Judy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Whoever has the cuckoo clock in the back, I love it. That tells me we're on time or not. Mom, is that your house?
It's mine. I'm
is
sorry.
It
as soon as you
no,
picked
no,
up, it started.
Every Thursday.
My mom has them too.
2 minutes
it's done
before
now.
when Scott and I first started dating, he thought it was just so cool in his apartment. He had cuckoo clocks throughout, like just clocks that dinged and donged and everything else throughout his entire apartment. So all, you know, we'd be hanging out watching a movie and all these noises would be going off at the hour. I'm like, okay, how do you sleep through any of this? That's crazy, but he could sleep through a tornado, I think. I don't know. It's like, oh, my gosh. Really crazy. Well, we are going to go ahead and get started. I know Brenda's calling in. She said she might have to be muted, but it is 7 o'clock, and Marcella was here quite early. She was the first one on the call. Congratulations, Marcella. You beat us. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I know. Count it. Hey, put it in your diary. As my husband always says, dear diary, on those perfect days. Well, I just wanted to talk about the next chapter. How many of you guys in this past week were really able to reflect on, like, your schedules, and are there things that you had gotten yourself involved with that you really saw that maybe I needed to back off on that? It's not really helping me get closer to certain things. Did anybody see that? I know I did.
I thought about it more than I
did
than I had in the past. You know, it.
That's
I remembered
good.
You telling us that years ago, that was your priority in making a decision about something, and it was a good reminder last week. So
good.
I've been thinking about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does help just to hear it again.
Uh huh.
Very good.
It
Marcella,
helps me stay focused.
Yes, that's good.
And not pull away.
Yeah, that's absolutely the key to those questions from last week is just staying focused. And if you take the time to ask yourself the question, then you're taking the time to really think about the final answer, right? Instead
right.
of just saying
right.
yes automatically. I know, like, I did the million-dollar message this morning for Kristen Rogers, or Kristen Sharp now, which was really cool. And I actually talked about the story in your head, and it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's the things that we tell ourselves that we have to do. And that's not necessarily
mm-hmm.
the case. So anyway, y'all be sure to call into million-dollar message. But it's something you've heard 1,000 times in the past year from me, which is kind of funny because it was like immediately I knew exactly when she asked me exactly what I was going to teach on. So that was really cool. Well, this week we're going to talk about your plan for God's pleasure. And when I first read that, I'm like, I don't like that title because it sounds like we're his puppets, and I'm not really
mm-hmm.
gung-ho about that. I'm just not a good person for being the puppet. Weird, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But then the more I got into the lesson, the more I realized it's not a puppet at all. It's that he wants us to have pleasure, which is why he created us, is to see us happy in the end, which brings him happiness. And so putting it that way, it was like, oh, okay. Well, in that case, that's a little different for me. But there were so many things in this chapter, and I listened to it over and over and over again because I really, every time I listened to it, I got something else out of it. So the one thing that really, there were many things. I'm just going to go through my notes, and then we can talk about what you got out of it. But the day you were born, God was smiling on you as an unobserved person in the room. I thought that was very cool because it says that nobody's a mistake, and we kind of talked about that last week. Nobody is a mistake. God planned every single one of us to be here. And so he was smiling. I love that thought, and I thought, what a great birthday message, right, to put in a birthday card. God was smiling the day you were born. How cool would that be? I thought, that's just kind of a cool birthday message, and y'all know birthdays are my big thing to send people stuff, and I just thought, I love that. So on your birthday, I want you guys, if it's coming up or just from this point forward, because I don't know that we'll go back to this piece of it, but on your birthday or even someone else that's really close to you's birthday, share with them God was smiling on the day you were born. And think about that, because really, I mean, there's a reason it says happy birthday, because he is happy because he made you. And I just thought that was really cool. And then worship is lifestyle. That was really big news for me. I pretty much whole my whole life, worship has been music. I mean, that's what I've always heard. Of course, you know, in growing up in the Catholic faith, we call it Mass. And so the music part was the worship part. And so I always heard that, but that's not how it was stated necessarily. But that's how we hear things. And often we hear people say things like worship and, you know, be at church. Worship starts at 10, and then, you know, preaching starts at 10:30 or whatever. It's like we get that in our head, right? But worship is every piece of what we do for God. It was really, like, wow for me, because I really thought worship was music. So I was very enlightened by that, at least, because I really didn't have an idea on the whole aspect. We're going to go into the five acts of worship, which really helped open my eyes a lot. So, and then if you dedicate everything to God and perform it with an awareness of his presence, that was like, oh my gosh. So you know how we've often said, if you run your Mary Kay business as if Mary Kay was standing right next to you while you were running your business, would you run it the same way? That's a really aha moment. So if we ran our lives or acted in our lives every day like Jesus was standing right next to us, would we act in the same way? Would we perform the same way? Would we say the same things? Or would it be different? Because it really is no different than the same thing we say about our Mary Kay business. We truly should treat every moment as if Jesus is standing right next to us. And I just love, I'm here with my grandsons and my granddaughter, and they go to a Christian school 3 days a week. And so they go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so yesterday they came home, and AJ's singing, or Austin, as they call him, but I call him AJ, is singing, you know, all the Jesus song, that he died on the cross for us. And it was so cool to hear him at four just singing this at the top of his lungs. And he cannot sing. I will say that. He cannot carry a tune. But it did not matter because it was adorable. But they talk about, in one of the songs, it talks about, I dedicate my life to him. I was like, wow, they're teaching that at 4 years old. And then in the song, it talks about Jesus is standing right next to me in all my actions and all my words. And I was like, okay, wow. And then I'm listening. I already listened to the lesson twice, and then I listened again. I'm like, oh, my gosh, God, thank you for the message. I hear it. You know, childlike faith, because AJ picked up every word and knew the song. But I'm like, how cool is that? That they're teaching such a young age that if you live your life outright in those eyes, it's so different in the results. And I just love that. So let's think about dedicating everything to God and performing it with the awareness of him being right next to us, and see if that doesn't change the end result. Okay, so let's talk about the five acts of worship real quick. And this, again, was very eye-opening to me. First is love him supremely. That's, he's number one, even over your husband. And that, my husband's like, really? I'm like, yeah, honey. Yep, he said it. I have to love him first. But it's true because, you know, he's the one who brought our spouses to us, or our parents to us, or our children to us. He's the one who gave us all of them. So we have to love him supremely and no other gods. So often it said, if you look in your checkbook, you'll see what you worship. And that, I think Andy Stanley, somebody said that recently, and I was like, wow, that's really powerful. So I'm good to go because my checkbook only shows tithing and child support, so we're good. We're pretty much. thank goodness for electronic payments. You don't have to look. But truly, it's the truth, right? Because so many people worship money, and it's not the thing to do it for you. And also, the second one is trust him completely. I will say that's probably going to be my hardest one. Well, the next one's probably harder, but trust him completely in all times, in all ways, in all events, in all dark moments. Trust him. That's the hard part. In the dark moments is the hardest part. But if you can get through that, just like Job, if you can get through those dark moments, oh my gosh, glorious day when the sun comes up on that, because he sees the trust and he blesses immensely. And then the third one is obey him wholeheartedly. This is the one I said I'd have the most trouble with. Obedience is not necessarily something I have been born with as a virtue. It is something I definitely have to practice on a regular basis. And I think a lot of us are probably like that. Obedience is just reacting immediately. One of the statements that I read and I read and I read again, especially again, being here with my grandchildren for the past week, just by myself because my best friend away. So it's just in me. So instant single parent again. But instant obedience will teach you more about God than a lifetime of Bible discussion. So instant obedience. I'm like, ooh, that's tough. And then delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, that really hit home to me being here with grandkids because, you know, they think twice, make me say it three times, or start counting. In fact, AJ's like, Grammy, are you going to start counting now? I'm like, you're going to get it if you have to ask me that question. So it's the delayed. And I thought, you know what? There's a lot to be said for that. Delayed disobedience is disobedience as a whole. We need to react and be obedient wholeheartedly. The fourth is praise and thank him continually. Always praise and thank him on a constant basis. And I'll give some statements on that, some whisper prayers, as we call it. And then the fifth is, it was stated as sue our abilities, and that was kind of interesting for me. I had to actually look it up, sue our abilities. I was like, what exactly does that mean, sue our abilities? What it means, basically, tithing, that you give your money where you need it to, you know, to the church first, and then let him bless the rest. It was really like, oh, okay, now I get it. That was the whole checkbook thing that I had read on, that you know what you worship, but through our abilities, which is an interesting way to put it. I think it's a very biblical way. But it's true. You know, they always say put your money where your mouth is. Well, that's kind of the same thing. The other teachings of worship throughout other churches, there's a couple of other ones that listed as preaching, praying, singing, giving, and the Lord's Supper. So preaching, praying, singing, giving, and the Lord's Supper, all of those are considered the five acts of worship as well. I did see that Rick was the first ones that I mentioned were the ones that he shared that were his most important. So. And the other is true worship brings God pleasure, and that is all-encompassing worship. That is the, you know, the five steps, the five pieces of it. One of the pieces, as far as praying or the trust him completely and obey him wholeheartedly, praise and thank him continually. Every word from our mouth is a prayer. What are you praying? Because that scares me at times, especially, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, my goodness, wow, ooh, that's kind of scary at times. So what are you praying? Because every word from your mouth is a prayer. And then, again, trust him completely, having the childlike faith to trust him completely in everything, thinking that he's standing by your side in all things. then be joyous always. In everything, be joyous. Steve, who's our pastor, says, you know, at times he is probably saying, be joyous always. It's kind of like his words of clenched teeth. I'm going to be joyous always. I'm going to be joyous always. And he repeats it to himself because he's not joyous at the point. But if he continues to repeat it, he will eventually be joyous again. And then pray continuously. Again, every word from our mouth is a prayer. So that's praying continuously without us even knowing it. So that's kind of that statement continued on. The other is in all things rejoice. So in everything that we do, in every aspect, no matter what it is, we rejoice. We need to rejoice in all pieces of our life on a constant basis. Good and bad, we need to rejoice. Because the bad, God has protected us from something, and we need to see that through. We need to see that and trust him. So if we trust him completely and we rejoice in the bad things, then we're saying, okay, God, I trust you completely, so I know you did this to save me from something else. The power statement was really, or the power prayer, they called it, or they called it the whisper prayer. That was huge for me.
Yeah.
A whisper prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, I love that. I loved that piece because it said, you know, something that reminds you, and I'd heard this a long time ago about the monks when they heard the bells chime every hour, they would say their prayers. And so one Lent, I actually, we had a clock, imagine that, with Scott and all his clocks, but we had a clock that would go off every hour. And so I, for one Lent, I practiced that. I would stop what I was doing wherever I was in the house and I'd say a prayer. That was, it was pretty powerful. It was pretty moving because you constantly had God on your mind. And I loved that because it wasn't just first thing in the morning, okay, let's get him back in the door with our devotional. Okay, let's take him out the next morning. It was a constant thing. So what's something you can do this week that will give you a constant reminder of saying a scripture or a power, a whisper prayer? You know, maybe it's a cell phone alarm, or maybe it's every time you get a text, whatever your scripture is, or your whisper prayer, or something, something that jogs your memory to say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then I want to know what your scripture is. You know, I think all of us have a favorite scripture. I have several, but mine that is my personal go-to is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That has been, from the day I heard it, it's instantly attached to me. And I know, like I know, like I know it's mine. And so do you have one? And if you don't, work on that this week. Because I will tell you, even in the darkest moment, I can whisper that, or I can say that, or I can write it. It helps often if I write it down. And when I write it down, I really see that God is moving through me to my hand and making me see that he is there and I need to be obedient and I need to trust him completely in that element as well as others. Okay, let's see. I just have a couple of more notes, and then I want to open it up to what you guys got out of it. God intentionally allows you to go through painful experiences to equip you for ministry to others. That was like the second aha moment for me, that he intentionally wants us to go through difficult times, because without the difficult times, we don't have anything to share. Does everybody want to hear, you know, oh, my life's been perfectly wonderful, joyous always, everything's been fantastic, perfectly good. Because what do you really have to share and help other people grow passing? So that's the reason he gives us the painful experiences. Okay, I want to open it up and see what you guys got out of the call. So whoever wants to jump in and let me know what they got out of it first, or out of the week, rather.
I will tell you, the main thing that hit me this week was that the not being instantly obedient, the delayed obedience is disobedient, that's the one that kind of hit me.
Oh, yeah, that makes a big difference, right? Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. That was huge to me too.
Didn't like that one.
No, me neither. Mm-mm. And the delayed disobedience. I'm like, oh, dang it. Or delayed obedience. Oh, yeah, exactly. Who else?
I think in chapter 9 when they posed the question, how much pleasure is God getting from my life? It kind of hit me up the side of the head.
Oh, yeah. So what are we doing for him and his kingdom, right? Kind of thing. What am I producing for him? Yeah. That's true, because so often we just go through the day, standard routine, and don't look at what we are doing for him. I know that's definitely been me this past, you know, week with the kids. It's like just routine.
Uh-huh.
And it's good for them, but, you know, you can lose in day-to-day life, but pleasures. All right, who else? Anybody else on? I heard a bunch of people dinging at the beginning.
Yeah, Sherry's on.
Hey, Shirley, how are you?
Yay. I'm still behind because I got a behind week, but I'm listening to you all, and I'm like, wow, God was dealing with me with this all along this week.
Right.
It's been a very, very, very extremely challenging week, and that's why I didn't get the double time done. But let me tell you, this is already, like you said, changing how we think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's not things I haven't already heard. It's just seriously from the very beginning about thinking about how much, you know, how important I am to God. And then this week sounds very much like how important everything I do is important.
Right.
And I just can't wait to dig in more. I am loving this. My verse, I have a verse.
Go ahead, sorry.
Proverbs 16:9 has been my favorite verse. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the Lord gives me a passion and a desire to go this way, and then when I'm in communion with him, he will guide my steps.
I like that.
Sorry. I, for some reason, my ear hit the mute. I was, like, talking, and nobody's talking back. I'm like, wait a second.
I wondered where anybody is.
I'm like... What just happened? Does anybody else have a favorite verse that they're constant go-to?
I do. 2 Corinthians 5:7, as we walk by faith, not by sight.
Oh, yeah. Which gives you your unit name.
Yep.
Very good.
And
anybody
I have to
else?
Agree about the delayed obedience as well. I have to agree with that.
Hard,
makes
huh?
you wonder. And then I have to say, I had a facial last night, and on my way home, I just was really excited because I realized, and it's all about God. It's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a test, and I just, it was amazing.
Good. I love it what happens when you see through, when you, he gives you, you know, I call it God winks.
Uh-huh.
He gives you just a little opening to the window to say, yes, good job.
Yeah, and just being obedient, you know, to him
right.
and listening to him. And I just thought it was awesome. I just had it was a blessing, so.
That's great. Good stuff. Anybody else?
I like that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh, yeah. I could have that written down on every aspect in every way. Okay, let's see. Does anybody else have anything that they needed to wanted to share about the week or things that had happened that you felt? I like, Sherry, thank you for sharing that God was working in you, around you, through you, and in every element. Sometimes that's nice, but not so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's that, you know, he's got to give you difficult times so you have something to teach on. I'm like, really? Did we just not do that at all?
Yeah, I'm ready to teach.
Yep, I know it. Again, remember what I said last week? That's right. What I said last week. What is your state? What is your speech going to be at seminar? I mean, from stage. And at seminar or greater than that, what is your speech going to say? Because, you know, that's really pushed me through a lot of downtimes, thinking, okay, this is a piece that I want to remember. We used to always say with my mom, oh, that's definitely an NSD moment, meaning that's going to be set on stage when she becomes a national. So what are those moments? What are those moments that stop time? I want to share with you guys, too, something that I read. The key to friendship with God is not changing what you do, but changing your attitude towards what you do.
Yeah.
So, Judy, that's kind of what you said, right? When you were saying...
Yeah, it's so big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so big. And you were talking about, you know, bringing pleasure. What? How does your life bring pleasure to God? And sometimes if we not necessarily change what we do, but just change our attitude. And, gosh, mm-hmm. does that go heavy in Mary Kay, too? Because if we change our attitude about, like Rachel was saying about the facial... You know, I'm sure a lot of people could have been like, oh, I got a facial. But she looked at it such an inspiring difference, and it changed
mm-hmm.
the results, I'm sure, you know, in a
mm-hmm.
different way. And I also, does anybody have anything else? Because I want to close with our Jesus call. Okay, so powerful. I actually read it at some god-awful time this morning when Addison was up for a bottle. And so, but I was, it was funny because that's not necessarily when I read my devotional, but God, again, just gave me the window to say, all right, or the wink, okay, let's read this, because usually that's just my time with her without little boys screaming and yelling and jumping all over her. But anyway, does anybody have anything else before I want to close with that because it was powerful? No? Okay. I'm going to have to put y'all on speaker to get to it. So if you hear screaming kids in the background, I apologize ahead of time. They, you know I'm on a conference call and decide, oh, let me go crazy.
What kids do.
I know. They know that, right? Okay, so it's April 10th, and it's trust me in every detail of your life. Nothing is random in my kingdom. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to those who love me. Instead of trying to analyze the intrinsics of the pattern, focus your energy on trusting me and thanking me at all times. Nothing is wasted when you walk close to me. Even your mistakes and sins can be recycled into something good through my transforming grace. While you were still living in the darkness, I began to shine the light of my presence into your sin-stained life. Finally, I lifted you up out of the murk into my marvelous light. Having sacrificed my very life for you, I can be trusted in every facet of your life. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, and that's Jeremiah 17:7. That was so moving to me because, you know, when it says that he lifted us from the myrrh, I actually did a little bit of research. I lifted you up out of the myrrh into my marvelous light. So I actually did some research on that, and myrrh is actually muck and mud and sludge. It's not a good thing. It's not a makeup remedy. I'm telling you, it's not a skincare. You don't want to do it. And so I was like, wow, that's so moving, and it's exactly what we talked about, right? I was like, okay, thank you,
mm-hmm.
Lord, for saying, hey, why don't you read Jesus calling? And because I always want to just be listening to what he has to say for us, you know, in the call. So, all right. So if nobody has anything else they want to share, if you do, please speak up and share before. Yep. Did somebody say something? for those of you guys that came on after I started talking, not about this, be sure to call into the Million Dollar Message today because I am the one on it for Kristen Sharp.
Oh, yay!
Yay! I finally did it!
Yay!
So that was really cool. I'm going to put it out on the studio Facebook page too, but it was really fun. I was like, oh, this is really cool. I like this. So getting my word out wherever I can. And y'all will be happy. I did say my shining bright, super excited shining bright sales director, My Lady Delight. That's how I will always introduce myself. Okay, so let's talk about next week. And next week is days 15 through 21. You were formed for God's family. So days 15 through 21 is session 3, and that's going to be next Thursday. And I kind of actually had the CD playing while I was doing some stuff around here, and it started playing further along in the week than I was listening to. And it's going to be good. It is so powerful. I mean, I have to say, and I'll say it next week too, but I want y'all to be open to understand that next week is Easter week when you listen and read this message this next week. It was like, okay. Holy cow. Because it's pretty powerful. And the timing is just unbelievable, considering I was like, oh, are we going to start May? Are we going to start April? And the week it fell on. So you guys have a great week. If there's any questions that you have, please feel free to text me. That's the easiest way to get me right now until I get back to Atlanta. But I am answering text and emails. It's just not as easy to get into email or to have time to look at them, I should say. So y'all have a great week. Thanks for calling in. I hope it was worth it to you. I know it was worth it to me just to do the research. So thanks, guys, and have an amazing week.
Thank you.
You too, Katie. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.